Welcome to the Mixing Babies and Business podcast, where parenthood meets professional development. We'll be covering all things business, flexible, and remote work with kids. I'm your host, Amy Lynch, and I'll be interviewing inspiring guests who've been showing up as their full selves as parents and blurring the lines between their personal and professional lives. Visit mixingbabiesandbusiness.com to join our movement of parents seeking to invest in themselves alongside their kids. The next interview features two guests, Sheena Brady and Solange Tiashime. Sheena is a parent, social entrepreneur, professional speaker, tea sommelier, and storyteller. She is the founder and CEO of Tease Tea, founder and co-founder of Founders Fund, and is on the Merchant Success Leadership Team at Shopify. Solange is a parent, an international keynote speaker, social entrepreneur, and philanthropist. She is the president and CEO of Elevate International, co-founder of Nyla's Legacy, a UNICEF Canada ambassador, Mrs. Canada International 2019, and Mrs. Canada World 2021. Our conversation is split into three parts. In the second mini-episode, we talk about learning to trust other people, how to pitch your ideas to investors, sponsors, and complete strangers, and the importance of storytelling and asking for feedback. Let's get into it. Sheena, you have said that you had to learn to delegate when you became a parent because when you were in labor, you learned that the hard way and you were trying to negotiate a purchase order. So I know you mentioned succession planning and delegation changing after becoming a mom. So can you elaborate on that and how it's impacted how you grow your company?
Yeah, absolutely. And first, I just want to say I completely agree with all the incredible points that Solange raised. I think that they resonate with me deeply in terms of how I've become a different and arguably, I hope many would think a better leader since becoming a parent for all the reasons that she shared. But yeah, like in addition to that, succession planning was one that I had to learn the hard way. Because I think like when you're building a business, especially, you know, small, like a small business in the beginning with like limited resources, like you are your business and your business is your child in a lot of ways, right? Like you're shaping and forming the identity of this business from absolutely nothing except your care and nurturing and your vision for it. And so what comes with that is, you know, when you look at it as like a parenting analogy, would you ever theoretically just like, you know, drop your child off somewhere and say, okay, and go without, you know, without like giving it much guidance or anything like that? Would you ever just delegate, you know, childcare to somebody else entirely? Like not really, right? Unless it's like daycare and it has the right structure and all that stuff. So with business, it can be just as difficult to delegate, especially when you are your business. For years, I was a one woman show plus my husband. My husband's an incredible, incredible supporter of Tease Tea, and he was actually my first full-time employee at Tease Tea, quit his job as a civil engineer to really help me keep up with like demand and orders as like the business grew, which was great in theory until we had a baby and both Tease Tea employees were like in the hospital having a baby, right? And so what I learned in that moment the hard way is I actually had a huge purchase order that was worth $50,000 and it was getting ready to clear customs to go to a client in LA. It was like a big wholesale order basically. And long story short, because I had a scheduled induction at the hospital. So like I knew I had a certain date that I had to be at the hospital. And I guess like I had the privilege of like knowing when to show up versus just like dropping into labor and dropping everything. So I had all my customs paperwork, you know, done. And it was kind of sloppy because I'm like, I'm baby brain mode. I'm just ready to bring a life into this world. I'm not really thinking about my business that much. And so I messed up the customs paperwork. It got held in customs. It was going to be super late to get to my client, which means they had the right due to our contract to just send it right back to me if it didn't make their deadline. And this was a $50,000 purchase order that would have taken me forever to sell at inventory if they had sent it back to me because it was a very specific order to them, not to anybody else, right? So here I am in labor and in between contractions, fighting with like customs and like trying to figure out the paperwork. And, you know, when this is supposed to be a very special, important day just to focus on becoming a parent, you know, for the first time. And that was like a very hard lesson that I learned that I greatly failed in delegation and succession planning in that moment. And, you know, I try not to be too hard on myself about that moment. But the reality is, like in retrospect, I totally could have done more to set myself and my husband and our family up for success by simply putting more trust in other people. Because even though Patrick and I were primarily the people running the business, I still had contractors. I still had part-time people. I easily could have, you know, delegated more thoughtfully and meaningfully and coached them leading up to me going into labor, of course, on how to take over. And so that was a huge lesson. And since I've become a parent, I've become super mindful of delegating meaningfully. And I think, like, for me too, like, the most incredible thing that happened, even though it was terrifying in that moment, the moment that I started to delegate meaningfully and trust other people was actually the moment that my business really started to take off and thrive. And, you know, the best example I can share is, like, in 2017, we did in revenue, we ended up actually doubling that in revenue in 2018 when I had my daughter and I was forced and held hostage to start delegating because I needed to focus on my child, of course. It was a hard lesson that I wish I had learned earlier. And I think that when you have the right people working on the right things, it just gives your business not only the ability to thrive, but you as a parent, because now I know that, like, it's okay if I just want to take a half day off and hang out with my family. And it's okay because there are people at my company that have my back. So.
All great points. Again, easier said than done. I find it so hard to, I don't know if it's because you spend so much time trying to convince other people of your ideas that you believe that only you can be the person to communicate that. I don't know if it's, like, just wired into you, but you've both spent a lot of time presenting on stages and pitching to investors and audience members and strangers and corporate partners, sponsors. Do you have any tips for people on how to position yourself, especially when people don't understand what you're doing and why you're doing it?
I think my biggest piece of advice, like, if we want to get high level in terms of who you're pitching in general. So, like you said, whether it's investors, whether it's your bank asking for a loan, whether it's on Dragon's Den, like, whatever the case might be. One thing that I've definitely learned over the years from, again, if you're a business owner, you're constantly pitching yourself in every environment possible. People care less about your business and more about the person behind the business. That's the biggest thing that I've learned, is that your story is far more important and more compelling to people than the actual story of your business. And so that is something that I think is, like, super critical. And it's, like, it's hilarious thinking about it, because you know how we suck at, like, taking our own advice? Well, even with my most recent experience pitching, like, on Dragon's Den, I just had an opportunity to kind of, like, reflect on what that was like watching other pitchers and stuff like that. And the most compelling ones are the people who tell their personal story at the forefront of their why. And we didn't do that when we pitched TST. We focused on the business. And then the Dragons chose to, like, go down this rabbit hole and, like, focus on Founders Fund more than the business that we showed up to pitch. And then it spiraled into this, like, really disjointed segment on national TV, in my personal opinion, which went fine ultimately. But it was a good reminder and lesson that, like, hey, I actually probably should have tailored the pitch to be more about my why as an individual and how it led to this business. Because that has brought me so much success and people understanding what we do and why we show up every day to do it. So that's my biggest piece of advice. Focus on yourself and the why above the business. And then when you talk about the business, it'll fold in organically.
Yeah, I totally, fully agree with all the points that you just made. It's so important. And actually, we recently had a meeting for Elevate, and we're looking at what are some of the ways that, some of the things that we want to enhance more. And I was very strong on storytelling. I think that if we want to create this world where we are genuinely moving women forward, we need to tell those stories for two things. A, those women will also continue to be known, so the world can continue to celebrate them, support them, and be part of what they're creating. But at the same time, it will also tell the stories to the next generation of women and the young girls that want to advance as leaders. I think storytelling is very important. I feel that for me, my experience with regards to partners and sponsorship, it comes a bit different. You know, as you can see, Sheena and I have one thing that's in common, is that we both look very young, which can sometimes be good or not good at all, because it takes people a little bit of a while to take you seriously. In a world where everybody's trying to be young, we're trying to look very mature. So when I go in a meeting, sometimes I have, like, these jackets on, my hair down, to try and really prove to people, I'm like, I swear I'm over 30. For me, I've always had two things that kind of go against me. They go for me in the storytelling, but they go against me when it comes to money. I often look young and I'm also Black. If you've read the statistics, it does tell you that if you are a woman of color, society, quote unquote, has a hard time trusting you with money, because just that's the bias that was embedded in our head for a long time. You know, if you're white male, then you know, you could be a crook, but we will still, first reaction is that you can get money easily, you can handle money easily, whatever that is. So for me, I had to be really, really strong as who I am in terms of those who would say no, to make sure that it did not change my vision and my mission. So I think that when we look at who we are first as a woman, then you think about making sure that you're clear about your mission and vision, because it can be derailed, or they can try to derail it, or think, oh, well, why don't you try it that way? Because as a woman, for sure, just as a woman, forget even color, someone somewhere will kind of come along and think that you could run your business better or differently. And, you know, you need to stand on your ground. So when you're looking for partners and sponsors, be really, because you fought for your vision and your business and you know why you created it, be patient and take your time to attract the right sponsors and partners in your organization, because you're already facing so much hardship in creating it and building it. Then why ruin it by just taking a quick buck or welcoming a bunch of people who are not aligned with you? Then all the work that you've done, you're indirectly sabotaging it, because having the right people around will be really important. And that comes with sponsors, loans, partnerships, etc. For me, I really had to build so much resilience, because in the beginning, it wasn't easy. I had so many people say, oh, that's wonderful, that's so inspiring. But then they do nothing, or they just say, oh, that's great, we'll give you $1,000. But then you look at somebody on the other side who's doing half of the stuff that you're doing, and they're getting $25,000 sponsorship. So you really, really have to be resilient, and you have to be clear on your mission and vision, but also, you know, making sure that you're not being stubborn. Make sure that you are filling a void in this world. Make sure that you have found somewhere where we're not really serving, or a place in this world that needs more people to serve, whether it's a business or a philanthropic endeavor, that they're not organizations and leaders out there who are doing so much of it. Make sure you're adding value, so that when you're stubborn on your idea, you are really, really sure that it's a place in this world that needs to be served. Be very mindful of who you bring in as your partners and your sponsor. My mom always used to say, when we were refugees, just because you're broke or just because you're poor doesn't mean that you're needy.
Good point. I agree with all that. And actually, I just want to add some of the things that came to mind as I was listening to you. Don't, like, make sure you keep showing up. I think, like, that's super critical. Mm-hmm. The reality is, like, a lot of people are just not going to get what you're doing. Like, that's it. Like, the amount of sponsorship calls that I've been on over and over and over again with zero results from it. Sometimes I can, like, you know, I want to go crazy. I'm like, I just spent hours of my life dealing with prospective sponsors yielding zero results from these people. And it's so frustrating, and it can make you question yourself, like, why am I even doing this? And specifically with Founders Fund is where we look for sponsorship to make our programming as accessible as possible for women identifying founders. And, you know, I have everything from the storytelling to the data to back up why not only them investing in us through sponsorship is impactful to their own values and their own mission, but how it could be even lead generation for that sponsor to make money off of our work eventually down the road. Let's say if they become a banking client of the sponsor or whatever, right? Like, I have really racked my brain trying to figure out how to make sponsorships as mutually impactful as possible to every single person I get on the phone. But the reality is 90% of them never work out. And it's incredibly frustrating. And you just got to keep showing up, keep knocking on doors, keep banging on doors. If you have to, be relentless. And just know that just because 90% of people might not get it, it doesn't mean that what you're doing is not on the right path. There's many reasons behind that.
Thank you for those reminders, because I just had about 3 rejections last week come within 24 hours. One good news, and I can announce that later this week, but it was just, you know, last week was one of those moments for me of, but the hours that I put into that, and I save my application so that I can reference it for future. And you're always refining your message, but sometimes you do, especially if you're a sole founder, you're questioning, am I on the right path? Are people understanding my message? But it's helpful to hear those reminders, because it's not just you or your business, it's the odds.
And we are also in a pandemic. And one thing I've learned, again, like being on endless sponsorship calls lately for Founders Fund, is that, you know, a lot of corporations have just dramatically pivoted where and how they are spending their money. And one example, a massive bank that I thought for sure, like a bank that I won't name names, but like they're a bank that's like known exclusively for focusing on entrepreneurs. They basically said, like, look, like we are focusing on existing relationships as part of COVID, because we don't want our current relationships and sponsorship agreements. Like, we don't want those clients to like worry that like we're not going to support them during this time. But that means that we can't take on new sponsorship agreements. And so like every business, even the biggest corporations are pivoting where they're spending their money, where they're spending their time. And so, you know, even though they might not, part of the reason might be they might not fully get your work and be able to get behind it, they just might have their own reasons why. And don't be afraid to blatantly ask as well, by the way, if you feel like you need that closure, because like that's how I am. I need closure before I close the door entirely. Otherwise, I'm going to keep knocking on your door. So after like, I think 7 calls with this bank, I was like, look, I feel like I'm hitting a wall. I feel like I'm doing something wrong. Can you give me feedback? Because I'm showing up with these decks, with these presentations, with this data, with like how our values are aligned, with how this can impact your organization and my organization meaningfully. And, you know, when you just kind of show a little bit of vulnerability in that moment and just ask for feedback, you'll be very surprised what you hear back. And in that case with this bank, they were just like, we love what we do. And we tried so hard to fight for you behind closed doors. But the reality is, several layers up, the decision has been made and it's firm that, you know, we're not going to be able to take on new sponsorship partners in 2020 that I tried for you. And that just made me feel good, because I'm like, okay, at least I know that you tried and you advocated for me. And at least I know that all the work that I did leading up to this wasn't totally for nothing on, you know, people that weren't listening. So ask for feedback.
Thanks again to Sheena and Solange for taking the time to speak about delegating meaningfully, changing people's perceptions, and the effects the pandemic has had on sponsorship opportunities. The next episode will feature the final part of our conversation, where we'll talk about advocating for yourself, thriving during difficult times, the importance of showing up, and their plans for 2021. Check out Sheena and her work at sheena-brady.com and Solange and her work at misssolange.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your network and leave a review. It helps other parents find the podcast. You can access more parent-friendly professional development, flexible and remote work with kids resources on my website at mixingbabiesandbusiness.com. Thanks for listening.